By 7 o'clock that evening, things had returned to something like normal. Sandy Dearborn knew that for himself, because he'd come back after dinner for his own encore look at the car. He found only 3 troopers, 2 off-duty and 1 in uniform, strolling around the Buick. Buck Flanders, one of the off-duties, was snapping pictures with his Kodak. That made Sandy a bit uneasy, but what would they show? A Buick, that was all. One not yet old enough to be an official antique. Sandy got down on his hands and knees and peered under the car, using a flashlight that had been left nearby, and probably for just that purpose. He took a good gander at the exhaust system. To him, it looked like Pyrex glass. He leaned in the driver's window for a while. No hum, no chill. Then went back to the barracks to shoot the shit with Brian Cole, who was in the SC chair that shift. The two of them started on the Buick, moved on to their families, and had just gotten to baseball when Orville Garrett stuck his head in the door. "Either of you guys seen Ennis? The dragon's on the phone, and she's not a happy lady." The dragon was Edith Hyams, Ennis's sister. She was 8 or 9 years older than Ennis, a long-time widow lady. There were those in Troop D who opined that she had murdered her husband, simply nagged him into his grave. "That's not a tongue in her mouth, that's a Ginzu knife," Dickie Duck Elliott observed once. Kurt, who saw the lady more than the rest of the troop, Ennis was usually his partner, they got on well despite the difference in their ages, was of the opinion that Edith was the reason Trooper Rafferty had never married. "I think that deep down he's afraid they're all like her," he once told Sandy. Coming back to work after your shift is through is never a good idea, Sandy thought, after spending a long 10 minutes on the phone with the dragon. "Where is he? He promised he'd be home by 6:30 at the latest. I got the roast he wanted down at Pepper's, 89 cents a pound. Now it's cooked like an old boot, gray as wash water." Only, of course, what the lady said was wash water. "If he's down at the Country Way or the Tap, you tell me right now, Sandy, so I can call and tell him what's what." She also informed Sandy that she was out of her water pills and Ennis was supposed to have brought her a fresh batch. So where the hell was he? Pulling overtime? That would be all right, she reckoned. God knew they could use the money. Only he should have called. Or was he drinking? Although she never came right out and said so, Sandy could tell that the dragon voted for drinking. Sandy was sitting at the dispatch desk, one hand cupped over his eyes, trying to get a word in edgeways, when Curtis Wilcox bopped in, dressed in his civvies and looking every inch the sport. Like Sandy, he'd come back for another peek at the roadmaster.
Hold on, Edith, hold on a second, Sandy said and put the telephone against his chest. Help me out here, rookie. Do you know where Ennis went after he left?
He left?
Yeah, but he apparently didn't go home.
Sandy pointed to the phone, which was still held against his chest. His sister's on the line.
Well, if he left, how come his car is still here? Kurt asked.
Sandy looked at him. Curtis looked back. And then, without a word spoken, the two of them jumped like Jack and Jill to the same conclusion.